First Chronicles chapter 16. And beginning in verse 4, it says, "Then he appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord to invoke, to thank, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Asaph was the chief, and second to him was Zechariah, Jael, Shemaroth, Jael, Mattaniah, Eliab, Benaniah, Obed-Edom, and Jael, who were to play harps and lyres. Asaph was to sound the cymbals, and Benaniah and Jazael, the priests, were to blow trumpets regularly before the ark of the covenant of God. Then on that day, David first appointed that thanksgiving be sung to the Lord by Asaph and his brothers." It's hard to believe, but it's that time of year again. This coming Saturday, we are to have our annual singing. I think it started maybe 8 years or so ago, something to that effect. We decided that we wanted to have a singing on a Saturday so that we could all get together and we could encourage one another and we could join our voices in song. And so it's just grown every year. We continue to have good participation, not only from our own group, and we continue to encourage each and every one of you. That's one of the reasons why I'm giving this lesson this evening, is to encourage you to make sure that your plans are such that you can be here, hopefully on Friday night when we're going to try to learn some new songs, and also on Saturday. But it gives us a chance to sing praises to God. And so as I was thinking about trying to make sure that I wanted to encourage everyone to do so, I thought, you know what, we really ought to just talk about it. We ought to talk about what a blessing it is for us to have song, for us to have the ability to sing to God. And so as I was thinking about that, you know, as I typically do, I'm kind of oriented to, you know, Brother Wayne was telling me this morning that, you know, Chris and I have a tendency to be kind of organized in a certain way. And that's because we think in an engineering kind of idea, because we like to have things just very choreographed. And so I just thought about what are some different things about singing that we should remember. And so that's what we're going to talk about this evening, is what is it that we ought to remember about singing. And the very first thing that came to mind is, well, why do we sing? What's the purpose of us coming together and lifting up our voices in song, in music? Well, the first and most obvious thing to tell you is that we do so in order to be able to offer up praise unto God. In this same First Chronicles chapter 16, we have written for us here, beginning in verse 8, one of the songs of David. David was a musician from early on in his childhood, if you recall. If you remember, they actually went and grabbed David and used him and had him play music for Saul when an evil spirit would come upon him to soothe him. And David was known as a person who could not only play music, but write music. And he wrote a number of beautiful psalms. And it says here in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 8, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works." Tell of all his wondrous works. In the 147th Psalm, Psalm 147, the writer there says, "Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting." It is right, it is fitting, it is good that we would sing to God, but specifically to sing to God praise that is due to His name. Have you ever thought about it much? Songs provide us with an excellent opportunity to express our awe, A-W-E, and reverence for God. To think about all the great things that He has accomplished, the miraculous power that He has, His lofty nature, all of those things we get to sing about, to proclaim it to other people. In Psalm 92, the 92nd Psalm, and beginning in verse 1, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the work works of your hands. I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord. Your thoughts are very deep. He's expressing praise for the God of all creation and all the works that he has done. Songs of praise. They become, most often, an expression of our gratitude to God. An expression of daily thankfulness. You see, when we think about it, songs allow us to step back and gain a different perspective that we don't often do on our own. It's amazing how much someone who is good at writing songs, which by the way I am not, never written one and don't probably ever will because I just don't have that talent. But people who can write songs, that they can express so much thought in so little area. It gives you a different perspective. It allows us to understand that everything that we have in this life on a daily basis all come from God. And we're able to express our thankfulness to Him. Psalm 147 verse 7, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving, make melody to our God on the lyre. A number of examples in the Bible, in the Old Testament specifically, that talk about the way in which the Israelites would sing to God songs of praise and thankfulness. We remember that just a few weeks ago, we studied, or just maybe even a week ago, we studied about Moses and the children of Israel singing a song of praise to him, to God, when he had delivered them out of the land of Egypt, when they had crossed over the Red Sea, when he had delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh in the bondage, and they sung a song, it said in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 1, they sung a song of thankfulness to God for the victory that he had given them. Over in Judges chapter 5, chapter 4 and 5, Deborah and Barak. I told my wife I was going to call it Barak. We grew up calling it Barak, but now a lot of people call it Barak. Whichever. Deborah and Barak, they sung a song of praise unto God because they had God had delivered them out from the hand of the Canaanites. They sung a song of praise and thankfulness. The Levites, as we've just read, David assigned a certain portion of the Levites when they brought the ark into Jerusalem. Now, the temple wasn't built yet. It would later on be built by his son Solomon. But David assigned certain Levites so that they might, if you remember when we read it earlier in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and in verse 7, if I can get my page turned. Then on that day, David first appointed that thanksgiving be sung to the Lord by Asaph and his brothers. They were constantly in their service to God as Levites, offering up songs of thanksgiving to God as well. So in the Old Testament, they lifted up their voices in praise and expressions of gratitude, and we also. God wants us to continue to lift up our voices, to lift up our lips in praise unto Him. In Hebrews chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2 and beginning in verse 11, it says, for he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why Jesus, is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I will sing your praise. I will sing your praise. In chapter 13 of that same letter, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, it says, through him, that is through Jesus, let us then continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. Now that could be done in teaching, that could be done in prayer, but that also can be done in song. To offer up our sacrifice of our lips in praise to God. In Romans chapter 15, Romans chapter 15 and verse 6, Paul there says, in verse 5, beginning, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another. He's talking about the way that we live as Christians with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it is something that we can do and that we plan to do on a regular basis to come together to lift up our voices in order to glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Consider for a moment some of the songs that we sing. Consider a song like, How Great Thou Art. When we sing this song, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Do we realize when we sing that song that we're singing praise to our God and Father? How about a song like Chris Travis's, Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah? I've told you in the past, different songs remind me of different people. This is a Chris Travis song. Right? Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah. From the heavens, praise His name. It's a song that's directly from the Psalms. Praise Jehovah in the highest. All His angels praise proclaim. All His hosts together praise Him. Sun and moon and stars on high, praise Him, O heavens, heaven, ye heaven of heavens, and ye floods above the sky. Let them praises give Jehovah, for His name alone is high, and His glory is exalted far above the earth and sky. You see, I think sometimes if we're not careful, we pay so close attention to the melody, and when am I supposed to sing, and when am I not supposed to sing, that we forget that we are actually singing. And we're singing praise to God. Songs and praising God is not something that's just going to stop. If you think about it, in the book of Revelation, it talks about, in a number of different places, including chapter 6 and also over in chapter 15, that the angels were around the throne, singing the song of Moses and the Lamb. Revelation chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Lifting our voices in praise to God is something that's going to continue. So we need to understand then that first and foremost, our song service is designed in order to offer up praise and to glorify the name of God. But there's more to it. Songs and song service are also offered in order to provide instruction and teaching. Instruction and teaching. You know, it's easy for us to look and see that people have forever and a day, as we might say, used songs and music in order to teach people. As a matter of fact, way, 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 way back when, okay, that is one of the primary ways in which they passed down history. But just think in your own life. You may not be able to remember back this far, but you know how probably you learned your ABCs? Probably. You learned it through song. Right? The alphabet songs, right? We got little ones there already. I know that one. Right? Yeah. Most of us do, and that's how we learned it. How about your Bible knowledge? How did you learn the books of the Bible? A lot of people learned them through song. We teach our children here through song how to sing the songs of the New Testament, the books of the New Testament and the books of the Old Testament. The apostles, we have an apostle song. The judges, right? Now see, I had always had problems with the judges. Always. Because we didn't have a song where I was. We didn't have a song about the judges. You just tried to remember, right? The other ones I could get pretty good. But the judges, man, I couldn't get all those names. But the song, I can get there. It just helps you to remember. It puts it into your mind, and you're able, because of the rhythm and the melody, to be able to put those words together and remember and be instructed. Songs underneath the old law, underneath the Old Testament, were used for the purpose of instruction. Look over in Deuteronomy chapter 31. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, we have here another song of Moses. We talked about the song of Moses already in Exodus chapter 15, and we mentioned it in our Bible classes, but there is a second song of Moses that he also references in some of the songs that we sing. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, and beginning in verse 19, It says, now therefore write this song and teach it to the people of Israel. Put it in their mouths that this song may be a witness for me against the people of Israel. We won't continue to read it, except for skip down to verse 22. So Moses wrote this song the same day and taught it to the people of Israel. God said, write it in a song and teach it to them, and they will remember it, and it will be a witness against them. In other words, they can't say, we don't know. Over in chapter 32 and in verse 44, chapter 32 of Deuteronomy and verse 44, it says, Moses came and recited all the words of this song in the hearing of the people, he and Joshua, the son of Nun. And when Moses had finished speaking all these words to all Israel, he said to them, take to heart all the words by which I am warning you today, that you may command them to your children, that they may be careful to do all the words of this law. For it is no empty word for you, but your very life. And by this word you shall live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess. He says, this is how you're going to teach your children. Teach them this song. So it was used for the purpose of instruction. The Psalms themselves, you know, the 150 of those Psalms that we read and study, they were written to remind Israel of their history. It was written in order to remind them of God's great power, and it was written so that they might be able to teach one another and pass it on down. God also intends for us to continue to use songs in order to teach one another. Colossians 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. We teach each other through song. Consider, for example, songs like, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. That's Colossians 3 and verse 17. You learn scripture through song. Whatever you do, I'll be honest, growing up, I never understood what air was. I thought, what air, right? After a while, I finally got to, whatever you do. And it tells us that the authority by which we do anything needs to come from God. Do all in the name of the Lord. What about this? Lo, in the grave he lay. Jesus, my Savior. Waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Vainly they watch his bed. Jesus, my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead. Jesus, my Lord. Death cannot keep his prey. Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. You see, you could preach a lesson and just say the words of a song. Because what it's telling you is that death couldn't hold Jesus. They thought, Satan thought he had won, but no, he had not, because he arose. We instruct each other the gospel of Jesus Christ when we sing. We teach each other the importance of things like the resurrection. But we also use songs in order to provide admonition, in order to encourage one another. And this is one of the great things associated with songs. There are so many different kinds of songs that are written for so many different situations in life. We try to encourage one another when we sing about our salvation in Christ. That it is only through Him. We can't look to ourselves. We can't look to anything else in life. It is only in Christ alone. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on Him was laid. Here in the death of Christ, I live. We teach each other. We admonish one another that salvation is only in Christ. Faithful love flowing down from the thorn-covered crown makes me whole, saves my soul, washes whiter than snow. Faithful love calms each fear, reaches down, dries each tear, holds my hand when I can't stand on my own. Faithful love from above came to earth to show the Father's love. And I'll never be the same, for I've seen faithful love face to face, and Jesus is His name. Beautiful words. Instructive words. Encouraging us to put our faith in Jesus. We also encourage one another to find help in times of trials, in times of afflictions, in times of temptation. Yield not to temptation, we sing, for yielding is sin. Each victory, though, over sin will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward. Dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus. He will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you. Comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. We encourage one another. That we understand, as Chris talked about this morning, that when we get out of the boat, the wind doesn't stop. The storms of life are still there. And so we sing to each other, don't give in. Keep fighting manfully onward. We sing so that we tell each other we're passing through this life and we're on our way home to God. As Philippians 3 and verse 20 tells us, our citizenship is not here. Our citizenship is in heaven. So we sing things like Brother Tony's song. There is coming a day when no heartaches will come. No more clouds in the sky. No more tears to fill the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I'll look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. We read of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths in God's Word He has given. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. You see, we sing about this so that we'll all desire to go home. Our true home. We sing in order to encourage each other to pray and to get closer to God. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. That calls me from a world of care. And bids me at my Father's throne. Make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief, and oft escaped the tempter's snare. By thy return, that is when I go back to that sweet hour of prayer. We remind ourselves of the need to talk to God and to draw closer to God. Jesus, draw me ever nearer. as I labor through the storm. You have called me to this passage, to this life, and I'll follow, though I'm worn. May this journey bring a blessing. May I rise on wings of faith. And at the end of my heart's testing, with your likeness, let me wake. Beautiful. Wanting to draw nearer to God. And we encourage each other when we sing. We tell each other in song to remember that we rely upon one another. That we need each and every one of us in this life. And that we find strength in your faith, in our faith. That's not it. I don't know what I did, but I did something. I don't know. The song was We Are One. So, thankfully I brought the book up here with me. Number 112. In the body of the Lord, we are bound in unity, just as we are one with God. You are also part of me. We are one. As we serve in truth and perfect love, all united in the mind with Him above. We are one. You know, when we sing, we also encourage one another about our duty to spread the gospel. We sing, I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to love and trust His holy word. I want to sing and pray and be busy every day in the vineyard of the Lord. We sing, oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found, wherever human hearts and human woes abound. Let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound. Our Lord is Lord of Lords. We remind each other that it is our duty, it is our task, it is our privilege to go and tell the world that Jesus is Lord of Lords. In song, we encourage the alien sinner to obey the gospel. Number 326, I believe it's 326, when we walk with the Lord, in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. There are so many things that we do to encourage one another when we sing together. So I encourage you this evening to make sure that you do whatever you can, each and every time, to sing with the saints. You see, there's really only a few things that govern the way that we sing. We must sing from the heart. You see, just as what Brother Chris Travis read tonight to us in Matthew chapter 15, He said, these people draw nigh to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. God doesn't want us to sing to Him if our heart is not brought to Him. You see, He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15, I will sing with the Spirit, but I will also sing with the understanding. We bring our hearts to God. We bring our thoughts. We bring our minds. When we sing, we're supposed to sing with all of those things. So we're to be scriptural, obviously. We sing things that are right and true because we can't encourage one another if they're not right and they're not true. And we sing from the heart. Really, that's pretty much it. He doesn't require us to be able to sing great or even good or even halfway good. It doesn't matter. What matters to Him is that we sing. Sing, folks. Just sing. God wants to hear us. So make your plans to be here and to sing with the saints so that we can glorify and praise His name. We can instruct one another and we can encourage one another. And when we do that, singing has great benefits as well. Believe it. Because after you come Saturday, you'll know it. It has great benefits. It will lift you up. Unlike just about anything else, it will lift you up. So if you're here this evening and you never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're about to sing an invitation song that is designed to encourage you to come, to let Jesus in your life. He desires it. As we've already talked about and we read from other songs, He came down with His faithful love in order to die for us. And so He asks that you let Him into your life by being obedient to Him. If we can help you in any way in becoming a child of God this evening or in making your life right, we'd love to do so while we stand and while we sing.